I'm your host Shane with Radical Rocks, and today we're going to talk about the Cripple Creek area in Colorado. We'll talk about what you can do with some rocks if you don't have rocks in your area,
on the first part and more. Of the journey, I was looking at radical rocks. There were fossils and minerals and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rings. The first thing I found was a geode, crystals, quartz with no clouds. Agate was hot and the ground was hard, but the gems were there to be found. See, I've been through the desert, found a rock with no end. Felt good to have in my hand. In the desert, you can find lots of rocks. Radical rocks are everywhere.
That's right. Radical rocks are everywhere. And today we are going to talk about a bunch of them. I'm trying a few new wizardry here, you know, computer wizardry. So bear with me as I try to figure all this out, and we'll see how it works. So I'm trying to do the podcast at the same time, so hopefully this will play in good. And if you're on the video, you can look at Radical Rocks. We've got hundreds of podcasts, and many of them on special topics. A lot of them are just variety of subjects. And today we have a little bit of variety, but mostly we'll talk about Cripple Creek and a few neat things like that. Now, our friends over, well, let's talk about rock hunting. Let's say you want to be, you know, you tuned into this show, you're like, oh, rocks sound really cool, but we don't have anything good at our place. Well, I would say you're probably wrong. There's probably something within a few mile radius. It might not be a really nice, super valuable gemstone, but there might be some quartz. There might be some other minerals. There's always minerals. I mean, you just need to find a place, riverbeds or a Rocky Mountain area. I did a video quite a few years ago where we just walked through some random mountains in a crowded Southern California riverside area up in the hills, and we bumped into all kinds of interesting things. None of them gemstones, but interesting geology and things like that. I remember one time as a kid, I was at Dodger Stadium, and I was walking around the parking lot, fooling around, and I found some little crystals that were there, and I always wondered, you know, what they were, what I did with them. But you just never know what you'll find. So here you can see in this little article here, Rock Hunting, Let the Games Begin, by Eve Jeffrey, the Echo. Here people have painted these rocks, and what they do is they hide them. There's an actual Facebook page called the Mullum Rocks Facebook page, and you can take a picture of your rock. You can give clues or whatever, and then when people find them, they can keep them, or they can put them somewhere else. They could leave another rock there. There's all sorts of things that they can do, but a lot of fun to, you know, do something interesting with these rocks and gems. Now, before we get into Cripple Creek, I wanted to share with you, and hopefully my cat doesn't attack me here. I had it open, but for some reason, it doesn't want to stay open. Let's see if we can open this thing. Here we go. So our friends at the Anaheim Searchers, this is in California, great rock hunting groups. There's all kinds of rock hunting groups all over the country. I have one here locally in Idaho where I'm at, and I really appreciate it a lot. And hopefully we're still recording there. My computer just kind of blacked out for a second. But they have speakers that come to their club. They have a report from the president. They're going to be talking about petrified woods and oddities. So there's a lot of neat things with petrified wood. It's not all like you might think of the it's kind of browns and reds. Well, there's opalized wood, there is limb cast, there's all kinds of things where it can look like complete agate. I've seen pink opalized wood before. I actually have a couple pieces. There can be like white opal. I've seen purple opal in petrified woods. It can be red, it can be metal, all kinds of interesting things. So this proves to be a very interesting discussion. Now, you can see that they have trips here. This is a little bit older here, but they've reached out to June 1st, 2024, Copper World here, going for Chrysocolla. I can tell you there's some beautiful Chrysocolla there. Very, very high contents of, well, there's azurite, which they would call that. If it has a lot of azurite in it, we used to call that the bluebird. Chrysocolla, very collectible. Some of this stuff is soft, but some of it can be very hard over there. It's as hard as 6 or 7 on the hardness scale that I have found personally. Of course, January here, we're just finishing up with the quartzite Arizona. The powwow's over, but they're going to be ongoing all the way probably into February with different rockhounding events and shows that you can see there in Quartzsite, Arizona. In Barstow, the famous Stoddard Wells tailgate show is going to be planned. It's tentative. That'd be February the 8th. This is an, if you're in the area, you don't want to miss this. This is real rockhounds typically that go out here, not a lot of the foo-foo jewelry stuff. I love it. Also, in the mountain, Stoddard Wells, right up there, they might do a trip where you go up there and get Verde Antique, which is a beautiful green, rich green marble that has a lot of serpentine is what has influenced the color to green. And some of it's softer, some of it's harder. And there's also a black jade up there, which is a Nepriite type jade. It's not a jadeite. Very hard to hammer out. You got to have a big chisel, some eye protection, and all that stuff. So a lot of other trips here. They're going for Clear Creek Plasma Agate in Calingas, California. I've never been on that trip, but I know Bill and Margaret. They used to be in the Orange Belt Mineralogical Society, and I think they have a rock shop up in the mountains there. Really nice people. So check it out. Yucaipa Gym and Mineral. Great people there. I used to be a member of that for many, many years. They've got some fee dig places that they're going to in Arizona. It, this is already over with, but definitely connect with them. They've got a lot of great trips too. Okay, other things that they have. When you scroll down, they'll tell you about the history of Arizona here and those gold shows. They have a field trip report here. So says they had the North Cadiz Mountains. I've done videos on that where there's all kinds of beautiful agate, a lot of jasper. They also found plume and jasper as well. And they found a calcite spear stem that was found. So that's cool. They went to the fluorite mine. There's a lot of green fluorite there. Purple, there's a little bit. I found mostly just all green. But it's real pretty, not too hard to dig, kind of hard to get a good, nice, big piece. But they call this area over in here the jewelry box. So there's all kinds of little nooks and crannies all over there where you'll find different things. But this area, he is saying they found chalcedony, nodules, crystals, seam agate, travertine, sagenite, all kinds of combinations. So really neat, really neat. So they had a group of about 20 people, and they don't really have too many pictures of the rocks. There's some kind of opalized at the bottom with some red agate, red jasper, and some agate in the middle, a little seam agate. There's some pictures of the desert, beautiful little wildflowers and things like that. They talk about their show and upcoming events here, elaborated a little bit more. January's birthstone, garnets. So they have some pictures of garnets there. Very informative, great group. Definitely worth being a part of if that's something you want to do. Now let's get into our main subject, which has disappeared. Looks like that's not good. Let's see here. Ah, okay, here we go. Cripple Creek. Now, the Western Mining History, you can go there, westernmininghistory.com. You can find out a lot about this, but they have great history on old mining towns. Go check that out. Cripple Creek, this is still a town, and we'll find out a little bit about what's going on today. They've got a gallery of some 76 photos. It was settled in about 1891, and as you can see in this photo, if you're on the video, there it is in 1897, and pretty populated, right? A lot of little buildings there, a lot of digging going on. Colorado became part of the U.S. territory in 1861, and it became a state in 1876. And Bob Womack and his brother William, they came in from Kentucky with their sister into an area now called Colorado Springs. Back then it was the sister to Colorado City. And this is a town east of Pikes Peak. They bought a ranch about 40 miles southwest on the west side of Pikes Peak in 1876, and they made some discoveries there. If you're not familiar with Pikes Peak, I've done a pretty extensive, I don't know if I've done a video, but I know I've done a podcast. There are so many minerals to get up in there. So many beautiful, wonderful things to find. And I went through that in great depth. If you're ever up there, there's still areas you can go collect when it's that time of year that you can do it. So you might want to check it out. There's some fabulous specimens up there. Well, anyway, Bob, while he was working on his ranch, he tried his hand at some prospecting, and he found a little bit of gold here or there, but nothing to really say, oh, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be famous, nothing like that. Until he went to an area that they called Poverty Gulch. This was in about October 1890, and the pictures don't want to load up too well right now, so hopefully they will, but maybe we'll have to come back to that. Here's another picture of the area about 1891. You can see that there's just a few log cabins. Nothing too spectacular there going on. Not a huge mining town, but it started to build. They invested in a gold mine, one that was fake because they had salted it, which is where they sprinkle a little bit of gold around. And that made people kind of weary of the Pikes Peak West region for quite a while. So other discoveries started to happen, and then the gold rush happened. This happened again around Poverty Gulch. Finally, Bob would become a millionaire, you would think, but he sold his claim too early for $300. He died in 1909, very poor and very far from wealthy, but there was wealthy people who made it quite rich. Here is a view from Fremont, soon to become Cripple Creek, Colorado in 1892. Winfield Stratton was one of the early believers in Bob's story, and he ventured over to the Poverty Gulch area. He was a carpenter living in Colorado City, and he was interested in mining. He took a few college courses at the College School of Mines, and here it is. Here's Mr. Roberts. Look at that cabin. That's what it took to be a carpenter back then. I'd be rich. I'm sure he could build more than that. I'm sure he did. But there's his cabin. You can see those big old, looks like massive elk horns. Jeez, just crazy, crazy. And there's a couple old timers there. One's playing a flute, and the other one's playing a fiddle. They're out there in the hills taking a break from a hard day of mining. Well, anyway, they struck gold at Battle Mountain, which is near Victor, July 4th, 1891, and they named it, it's one of the famous mines in there, Stratton Independence Mine. Stratton became one of the group of elite millionaires, one of the few that were made rich from the gold in the area. some of the people that got rich there were selling a lot of tools, right? They owned the stores in town. They had cattle that were grazing in the Broken Box Ranch after about 1885, which was west of Poverty Gulch, near the Mount Pisgah, if I'm saying that right. And after the gold strikes, Bennett and Myers laid out the town on the ranch. And Main Street was across the center of town, was named for Bennett. And then Myers Avenue was to the south. You can see here some early homesteaders there. And looks like they've got an ore bucket, so they are above the mine, and they are working the mine. This is the Hillside Mine in Cripple Creek, about 1893. Now, these buildings were put together with split wood that would be crudely milled, because they didn't have a lot of water there, so it would be pretty hard to mill wood in this area unless they could get down by the creek. So mills would go up, and people were finding gold. People were looking for gold everywhere, and the town by Fremont became known as Cripple Creek. And it may be from, it says, the name may be from cattle falling in the creek and injuring their legs, but nobody seems to know for sure. The main road was a wagon road, and the stagecoach connected this by 1891, and Cripple Creek was touted in local newspapers in 1982 as a chance of a lifetime, and not a health resort, but a wealth resort, with yellow gold found at the grassroots in the rock formation. The town had nearly 6,000 residents by 1884. The town became part of the Cripple Creek Mining District, and it ran miles north, south, east, and west. Hundreds of mines in the district supplied a total of over 22 million ounces of gold in 25 years. Some of the smaller towns surrounding that were Victor and Goldfield. And in about 1892, a little girl named Mabel Barbie had moved there. And her dad couldn't resist the gold. He was looking at the strikes, the new strikes, west of Pike's Peak. Her and her brother were from Utah. They lived with relatives in the Midwest while their father got settled in town. Finally, after trips by train, stagecoach, where they were sandwiched together like sardines in a coach drawn by six horses just hours away from arriving in their new home, she was awakened and led outside to stand in a line with other stagecoach riders. The stagecoach had been struck by bandits that moved down the line to confiscate any valuables. Well, she had a dollar, and she didn't want to lose it, so she tried hiding it in her mouth. Well, at some point, she realized they wanted her to talk, so she faked like she had a cough, like a sore throat, and that's how she got the dollar in there. But the bandits were laughing at her, and she couldn't figure out why. So he just overlooked the coin, but he took another silver dollar from the loot that he'd stole and stuck it in his mouth, laughing. And she wrote this down in her memoirs about the life of the town in 1958. So she'd been there for quite a while. You can see this Cripple Creek map, kind of hand-drawn, where in 1895 you can see how the town was set up, where the different mines were. These type of things were really collectible. Power and electric and all that stuff had reached the town by 1892. They had two railroads completed to reach the area. Hundreds of men building the lines. The Midway Terminal Railway connected the Cripple Creek to divide the north by 1895. They built a reduction mill. This is where they would grind down the ore, try to high grade it, and get the good stuff. They did that. This was an area that was called Florence, at the end of Florence and Cripple Creek Rail Line, about 30 miles to the south. The Cripple Creek District Railway, the short line, was built over the mountains between the two towns in the 1900s. The other line that was racing to finish this was the Florence Cripple Creek Rail Mine. Then many fires hit the town about 1896. 4 days apart, wooden buildings burnt to a crisp. Even a reservoir of water north of town could not put out the fire. The town was rebuilt mainly by using brick because they didn't want it to burn down again. There was about 20,000 people living in the creek area before the fires, but many were left homeless and left on many trains, special trains. There it is, some of the havoc of the fires. You can see that giant plume there, 1896. Now, the Stratton Independence Mine near Victor was sold to a British group in 1900. The southwest corner of the El Paso County, including the Cripple Creek Mining District, was separated into its own county in 1901, and Cripple Creek became the county seat. There's also that area, the county jail, that was built in 1901, now houses the Outlaw and Lawmen Jail Museum, where you can go there and see a history of some of the famous people, good and bad, of that time, and these characters that ran the streets, the mines, and the businesses and criminal activities of the time. In 1900, the production tapered off, but the population was about 10,000, and it dropped over the next several decades. Got quite small. The Independence Mine changed hands. Sam Strong, he bought and sold and leased a number of mines and set up a money loaning operation in Colorado Springs. He got shot in a ballroom brawl in the Newport Saloon in 1901. The shooter, Grant Crumley, was co-owner of the bar, was accused of murder but pleaded self-defense and was acquitted. There was quite a bit of gambling and gunfighting and things like that. Strong was notorious for his wild ways and was sued in 1901 by a couple of ladies of the evening. He happened to marry what was called somebody who is respectable. Her name was Nellie Lewis, and these prostitutes got over $50,000 in damages in this scandalous court case, and then there was other settlements that were made out of court. There you can see the one of the big businesses of the time, wholesale retail dealers and importers of wines and liquors and cigars. So, yeah, it was a pretty up-and-coming town of the day, but it died off real quickly. There was problems with the people who worked in the mines and unions and the way they were being treated. They were given a reduction. They brought in the unions. They fired people. Some of the other miners put their money together to get some soup kitchens going. People got shot. Mines got blown up. It was a real time of chaos in the mines. They brought in the state militia to try to straighten things up. Finally said people were working 8 hours a day and they're getting paid $3 a day. So at that time, that was actually better. And then that happened in 1903 to 1904, and they called it the Colorado Mining War. So as a result, organized unions were banned for a while at that time. Also, the prostitutes, there's quite a bit of them. Myers Avenue Madams, there's a whole history of some of these ladies of the evening. Prostitutes and madams flourished in Cripple Creek and numbered over 300 by 1896. And the fires kind of put a damper on their business. And but they got right back to business again. One local madam Pearl DeVere rebuilt the old Homestead Parlor House on Myers Avenue, offering the latest conveniences, electricity, telephone, bathroom, and running water. Pearl died of morphine overdose in 1897, and her property was sold at an auction. And there's one of the old hotels right there. You'd walk down these walkways here, and they'd hear you, and if they were ready for business, the door would open, and a pretty-looking gal, or a gal, would look out at you, hoping for some business. They did outlaw prostitution. That happened about 1902, but, you know, it still went on to happen. They had membership clubs to try to avoid this. They had rules that allowed working girls one day per week that they could stop on Bennett Avenue, but they were prohibited from wearing skirts higher than 6 inches above their ankles. Can you imagine that? Anything shorter than that was scandalous. Finally, in 1915, prostitution became illegal. Businesses could be raided, and it was tough. They didn't allow prostitution there again. The old Homestead Parlor House became a boarding house in 1917 and was turned into a brothel museum in 1958. Gold mining made a comeback around the Great Depression time, when gold values went up a little bit in the 1930s. And then World War II came, and the mines were ordered closed by the government. In fact, the government confiscated a lot of gold back around that time. Was not good. So there's a lot of national historical landmarks there. The Cripple Creek Historical District has registered this town, commercial and residential buildings, many of them, as preserved. Today, there's a huge American Veterans Rally at Cripple Creek. You can go there. There's restaurants, things like that, that you can go do. And gambling was legalized here about 1980 or 1990, I believe. 1990. And all kinds of people come there to visit Cripple Creek. And it is a real tourist stop. There's only about one mine that's in operation. The Cripple Creek and Victor Gold Mines, open pit mines, have been uncovering gold and silver since 1994. And there is another mine that's not producing, the Molly Kathleen Mine. You can go down a mining cart, drop straight down over 1,000 feet below ground and ride that mining cart, which is a lot of fun. Here's some of the old areas here. The world's greatest gold camp, Cripple Creek. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. I know I haven't done an update in a while. I got this new software, so hopefully that works out. Hopefully this video is not too long and I can post it accordingly. With that, I want to wish you all a wonderful day. Remember, rock hounds don't die, they petrify.